Welcome to the Product Podcast, brought to you by Product School. Here, you'll get fresh insight from the people at the very top of the tech companies who make the products we love. Remember, you can learn product management live online. Visit productschool.com to discover our new certificate path. There, you can also join the world's largest community of PMs and network with the leaders from these podcasts at our online events. There's something happening almost every day.
Hi, my name is Mumin Oladipo, and I'm here to talk to you today about holistic product thinking. Before I jump into what holistic product thinking is, I'd like to share a little bit about myself so you can understand my perspective on the topic. I had a very non-traditional path into product management and maybe life more generally, which has lent itself to how I approach product thinking. First, I'm a third culture kid. I come from a military family. My family is Nigerian. I was born in Atlanta and spent time in Texas and Maryland. I then moved on to spend my formative years in Cairo, Egypt, and Jakarta, Indonesia, primarily with some time in other countries like Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, you name it. I found my upbringing extremely valuable when I'm trying to understand new target audiences, really wanting to shift perspectives comfortably to help increase awareness. I graduated from university with a BA in biology and a minors in French and international politics. I worked in hospital labs where I've had to flex my very analytical side of my brain to understand and confirm findings. I've worked at the State Department as a program manager where I practiced my diplomacy and awareness. I worked for county government doing outreach to at-risk youth, where I had to practice positioning messages in different ways to help increase engagement with my teens. I worked as a regulatory affairs manager, where I spent a lot of time listening, understanding, and advocating. After that, I started my product career at Bloomberg Government, where I built products for policy experts in the transportation policy space. I then went to Zephyr, where I focused on building products to help brands identify and monetize their YouTube content. At Sony, I built products for independent artists to distribute, analyze, promote, and monetize their work. Then at Seamless Docs, I built products to allow local, city, and state governments to transform and simplify their form intake process. Now at Kickstarter, I lead our product design and engineering teams to ensure that we are building products of value to our backers and creators. So when I was asked to speak at ProductCon, I'd sit down and ask myself, what would I want to hear if I were in the audience today? What are some common issues us as PMs run into? I kept coming back to ensuring that us as PMs are delivering something of value. I started to look back at my career and break down those moments where I felt I delivered something of value and maybe where I fall a bit short. In each of the successful moments, I realized that I applied strong holistic thinking in my product practice. In the moments where I'd fallen short, I'd often taken shortcuts or made a series of mistakes. My goal today is to share components of holistic product thinking with you so you can understand how to meet customer needs and drive impactful results. Holistic is a term used for an entity that is encompassing as well as interconnecting all physical, emotional, and mental aspects. Holistic health, holistic life are some examples of this. In applying holistic thinking to product management, you are taking any new or old ideas and understanding the importance of the whole and the interdependence of its parts. When a PM is consciously attempting to address all of these three components in their work, the degree to which you apply this thinking will often produce a product or feature that is uniquely aligned to the user's needs. Today, we often expect the design process to start from a clear set of first principles derived from a deep understanding of the people using the product. In leading product management, design, and engineering, I would argue that the evolution of design has impacted product managers and engineers as well. Product managers are now expected to understand and utilize design thinking. Engineers need to be conversant in design vernacular and are increasingly becoming skilled in design principles. The word holistic, when applied to teams, can also be used to describe the convergence of disciplines, processes, and strategies to build and deliver products that are, again, meeting customer needs and driving business value. Designers, product managers, and engineers are influencing each other and are working more closely than ever before. As a product manager, your goal is to solve customer problems and meet business goals by delivering valuable, meaningful products. If you are not solving customer problems, then you aren't really doing your job. Now, how many of you have started a new PM job recently and are unsure of where to start? What about starting to build out product roadmaps with an eye for next year? How many of you are leading multiple product teams and are trying to ensure cohesion? With that same line of thinking, how many of you have also experienced a failed release? I have a feeling that I would not be the only one to raise my hand to that last one. I would argue that a failed release is a symptom of not thinking holistically. First, by failed, I mean it didn't meet the mark. Either you met a customer need, but it did not align with a business goal, you met a business goal, and it did not align to a customer need, or the very sad, sad case where it neither met a business goal or a customer need. There can be many contributing factors to a failed release. Perhaps you were under strict time pressure, you built a feature because a competitor had it, you aren't a subject matter expert and you did not consult one, maybe you even took customer requests and ran with that as your deliverable without validation. When I first became a PM, I approached things very linearly. Similar to a checklist, I felt that if I started with discovery and research, then went on to write my requirements, design, development, testing, and release, things would work out perfectly. I quickly realized that that is not the case. Product management is hard. In reality, things are not linear. There are a series of feedback loops, steps you may or may not take, depending on size and type of company you work for. Before you get too caught up in how you want to drive an idea forward, I would encourage you to start with confirming you are solving the right problem, one that meets the customer need and drives value for the business. At the core of it, you need to understand your business goals, understand your audience and the ecosystem you are working within, validate the need and assumptions with data, account for any organizational or technological constraints. So, do you understand your business goals? Users are smart and savvy, and they know they have options. You have to make sure that you are delivering something that keeps them happy, engaged, and satisfied, that you are meeting their needs. This not only keeps them coming back, but also keeps your team motivated because they are building things that people are excited about. Your goal should not be to go out and copy your competitor, but rather understand how you can uniquely build something that delivers value to the business and to your users in a meaningful way. I always encourage PMs to do their due diligence and work to understand the bigger picture. How does the thing that you are working on fit into the success of the business? What are the expectations people have for the product or feature you're working on? As a PM, you should be flexible in your approach. Every feature, product, and company is different, and there may be a number of factors that you will need to take into consideration as you're working through this process. Some of them could be customer requests, internal requests, revenue goals, competitive landscape, internal constraints. In one of my former roles, the company I worked for lack of a better term, was very opportunistic in how they wanted me to approach product development. I was asked to build things in hopes that it would land. The challenge there was I couldn't understand whether or not the products I was building actually were driving impact for the business. We did not have a defined business goal for me to work towards. To resolve this, I sat down with my CEO, who was a very small startup, and we worked together to articulate the expected impact to product or from product. A quick definition of what business goals are. Business goals are the goals that a business anticipates accomplishing in a set period of time. They are important to provide a way to measure success, keeps everyone aligned, give everyone a clear understanding of how decision-making aligns with the company direction, and ensure the company is headed in the right direction. Together, we made sure that I truly understood the company mission and its values. From there, I worked alongside the CEO to identify what the short-term goals were for the remainder of the year. I should note again, this was a small company, and in a lot of cases, these hopefully have already been defined for you. We then broke these goals down into actionable business objectives. This is a helpful reminder that it's not just about product. There are several other departments, and so this step is it helps ensure that the other departments are also moving in the same direction and you have the right alignment. We then made sure that each of these goals were measurable and assigned to an owner. This helped to ensure accountability and ownership measures were in place. From there, we agreed upon the regular cadence of reviews to ensure that we had alignment around how often we were expected to speak about the impact product specifically was driving towards each of its own goals. This alignment was extremely helpful as I could now understand what I needed to optimize for. It also took me out of that frozen state where I really wasn't sure where to start. I like to think of ideas running through an idea funnel. At the very start, you have a lot of them. As you progress, things start to shake out. With this alignment at the top of the funnel, you can begin to be generative in your ideation. In the next step of the funnel, I like to ask myself, do I understand the users and the ecosystem I'm working on? Ultimately, you need to understand both to be successful. I remember my first product role without a support system. I was working for a startup and was the only PM on the team. I figured I'd have enough time to get settled and get up to speed on the different topics within the space. Soon after my starting, the head of product and the head of business development agreed I was not there, that they wanted to showcase a new product or a new product at the Cannes Festival. They wanted the product to cement our audience's understanding of who we were and what we could offer. The problem was, from what I could see, we had not really defined ourselves or our target market. The features that were built tended to fall into the someone somewhere would find value in some of this category. On top of that, I wasn't sure how to even begin asking clarifying questions. All I could think was I had to build something fast. I had 2 months to deliver. I did not have confidence in my practice. I did not even understand anything about our target market to begin to dissect what the needs were. I could take you through a detailed explanation of what I did, but TLDR, it wasn't right. I did none of the things I'm recommending here today. I did not understand the audience and therefore did not understand the need for anything we were building. I rose to the occasion though. I used some working assumptions that were floating around to craft a pitch together that got the internal folks very excited. Myself and the team rushed to build out this new product with all of the flashy new features. We met the deadline and off they rushed to the conference to release the product into the world. From what I hear, we rented a fancy space and even used the product marketing materials that I created. People gathered into the room and we demoed the product. The room was excited. I got a call at the end of the demo with the good news. We all celebrated. I celebrated. I felt like I had pulled it off. A few weeks later, as our resident product marketer as well, I started going on sales demos with our team to see if we couldn't get folks buying the product. Demo after demo, week after week, we stopped in to chat with the potential users and they would tell us, it looks great and we'd love to use it, but we aren't willing to pay for it. What happened, I thought. We got a fancy room. We did a fancy demo. People clapped. That's it, right? Wrong. One could say that I did meet the business goal. I delivered ahead of the conference. They were able to do their splashy release. So I guess that's good. But I failed to gain clarity around who my audience was and the ecosystem I was playing within. More generally, products can fail because you fixed a non-existent problem, you targeted the wrong audience, you have incorrect pricing, you did not have the right internal capabilities, you had delayed development or delayed market entry, you poorly executed, or you didn't understand the customer needs. This speaks to my experience in this example. I did not take the time to understand my users' needs and their desire. I rushed forward to meet the business goal without realizing that I also needed to build something that people actually wanted to use. I should have started by asking, who's my target audience? What are their problems? How does my product solve their problems? Don't assume that because you have something out there already that you know the problem. If it's a new feature or product, spend the time to think about it. Don't also forget to ask, what are your company values? What is your mission? What are you trying to communicate to your users? And what are their core jobs to be done? You then have to ask yourself, do you want to go broad or do you want to go deep? If you decide to go broad, you're looking to engage a new set of users. If you want to go deep, then you're looking to get more engagement from an existing set of users. if it's a new product, or excuse me, if it's for an existing product, you will likely be questioning whether to focus on minor enhancements or the next big feature. This is where your understanding of the business goals can help you guide your decision making. In any path you take, your goal is to ensure that what you're building is complete. This is where data plays a role. Further along in my career, I was working on a feature for an existing product. I had a strong understanding of our business goals. I spent time with our customers to understand their needs. I had a strong sense of the problems I need to solve for. I had a few ideas that I could potentially move forward with based on my understanding of the customer problem. I decided to move forward with the building out of an analytics tool to provide insights into how users' content was performing. The team started development. Along the way, there were a series of questions which came up that really started making me doubt the direction I had chosen. When asked how I selected my direction, I didn't have any substantive means to justify the direction. It felt very subjective. The more time that passed and the closer we got to release, the more I wished I had made a different choice. What happened here? I didn't use data to take my ideas further down the idea funnel to support my final product direction. I was still working off a series of assumptions. Launch products will often give you a significant amount of user data. It's important that you are accessing user data, you are being compliant when you're doing so. You will want to ensure that you clearly understand what data you can leverage to understand your audience trends. Whether you have an existing product or are looking to launch a new product, you should have some qualitative and quantitative research options at your fingertips. Qualitative research helps you understand the why and how to fix a problem, while quantitative research helps you answer how many and how much. Qualitative research helps to inform design decisions and identify usability issues and help find solutions for them. This can be done by questionnaires, interviews, observations, amongst other things. Quantitative research helps to evaluate the usability of an existing product, track usability over time, calculate ROI, compare your product with other competitors. This data can either be counted or compared on a numerical scale. Your aim is to get enough data to understand which ideas to pursue next. Time is often limited, and so you want to be sure that you are pushing forward the most valuable ideas. Data helps tighten the gap between the business goals and the customer problem. Using the example of the funnel, you started out at the beginning with a lot of ideas as you understood the business goals. From there, you went on to understand the customer and the competitive landscape. Some ideas started to fall out. Now, as you're digging deeper into the data, you're taking your ideas through a further lens of refinement. Next, have you considered your organizational or technological constraints? Now, you've worked through your ideas tunnel or funnel, and you've worked through a lot of questions, and you settled on that one single precious idea. You're excited. You can't wait to move forward. You rush to your team, you share the good news, and they just stare at you. They say it's not feasible. This can be for any number of reasons. You don't have the right skills in-house. Your platform may not support your ask. There simply is not enough time. Your funnel actually isn't done yet. The role of the product manager is to figure out use cases. Your engineering team will now need to walk you through feasibility. The purpose of this step is to evaluate whether the proposed idea can be executed as expected to provide the desired business and user benefit while identifying any barriers or risks that could potentially impact the idea's viability, value, or benefit. The amount of time you'll need to dedicate to this step depends on the state of your platform and the size of your ask. Generally, the types of questions you can walk through with your engineering team are, does your product offer sufficient value or benefit which would outweigh the estimated cost and risk? Values and benefits should be quantifiable. They can be measured in a number of ways. Dollars earned or saved, person hours saved, percent increase in customer satisfaction, reduction in errors, you name it. Costs can be estimated by understanding any acquisition costs, implementation, operational support, personnel, software, and ongoing maintenance costs. Secondly, you'll want to understand organizational capacity and resources to acquire, implement, and support the proposed product idea. Organizational capacity and resources are key considerations, as well as technical and financial capacity of the organization. If your new idea requires your company to go out and hire 20 engineers and 10 new data scientists, you need to ask whether that's feasible. Asking whether the solution can be supported by existing business and technical staff is important. On top of this, for your existing staff, are you asking that a new language or skill set be adopted? New technology adds both cost and risk to the new product or feature. Thirdly, I ask how well the solution fits into our organization's business, technical, and information environment. You'll need to understand the estimated cost to the organization to address any gaps identified. Once you've walked through these questions with your team and your proposed solution has made it through, you have one secret last step. Oftentimes as PMs, we're in all the conversations spanning from those with our executive stakeholders, subject matter experts, customer interviews, you name it. An important part of holistic product thinking is ensuring alignment at the end of the journey. I would encourage you not to save this up for last though. You should be including members of your design and engineering teams along the way in as many conversations as you can. Remember to capture notes and share with your team, leaving space for questions, not taking defense when somebody doesn't understand. You can use it as an opportunity to refine your pitch or an idea. Once you have agreed upon a direction, there's still the necessary step of pitching your leadership. A lot of ideas were rejected along the way. You want to make sure that you are capturing those ideas regardless of where they came from. So when it comes time to talk about why you decided not to move forward with them, you can justify it. Again, your goal is to bring everyone along on this journey to ensure alignment. One thing I'd like to note is once you have your product or feature out there and users are engaging with it, don't assume that your first release will meet the mark for all of your users. You need to quickly hit the ground running by speaking to your users, engaging with the data to understand how you will continue to deliver value. An important aspect of being a product manager is to consistently be figuring out what you're building next to improve your product going forward. If you don't have the time to think ahead, you need to make the time. Technology is changing every day, and so are the options for your users. So to summarize holistic product thinking, you can incorporate several of the lessons I went over today, but you can simply start by asking yourself some key questions. One, do you understand the business goals? Two, do you understand your users and the ecosystem you're working within? Three, have you validated the need and assumptions through data? Four, have you considered your organizational and technological constraints? You, of course, will find your own frameworks. So my goal here today was hopefully to expand your thinking on this concept to help you understand how to build products that meet your business goals and deliver value to your customers. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Product Podcast. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. For more product insights, head over to productschool.com.